Radio Prague News.
Top 09 ministers have threatened to leave the government unless the Education Ministry sacks and rebukes advisor Ladislav Batora for insulting their chairman, Karol Schwarzenberg. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra will attend the funeral of Stirad Mashin next week and present him with a military honor in memoriam. And President Klaus has ratified an act honoring members of the anti-communist resistance. Cabinet members of the Top 09 party have threatened to leave the government unless the Education Ministry sacks and rebukes advisor and HR chief Ladislav Batora. All five ministers for Top 09 walked out of Wednesday's government meeting to protest insults that the controversial official hurled at their chairman, Foreign Minister Karol Schwarzenberg, via his Facebook page. Responding to colloquially phrased criticism by Mr. Schwarzenberg that he was inappropriate for his position, Mr. Batora called the Top 09 chairman a, quote, poor little old man, who, he said, sputters brazenly when he knows I can't challenge him to a duel for at least three different reasons. A far-right conservative and ally of President Václav Klaus, Ladislav Batora's presence in the Education Ministry has been a major point of contention since the president suggested him for the post in February. He was formerly a candidate for the extremist National Party and most recently sought public attention for his stance against Prague's first festival of homosexuality. Education Minister Josef Dobesch of the Public Affairs Party says he will offer an apology to Mr. Schwarzenberg on behalf of Mr. Batora, but says he does not intend to sack him. Mr. Dobesch said Wednesday afternoon that his aide's comments were within the bounds of acceptable behavior and that he was entitled to his opinion even as a state official. Prime Minister Petr Nečas called Batora's comments boorish and unacceptable and criticized the education minister for not offering an apology earlier or distancing himself from the comments. He said he is not considering dismissing Mr. Dobesch at present and would not say how he would respond if the situation continues. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra will represent the Czech government at the funeral of Stirad Mashin in the United States next week. Prime Minister Nečas announced on Wednesday that the defense minister and former ambassador to the United States would be conferring the Golden Linden military distinction upon Mr. Mashin in memoriam, and also upon his brother Josef. The decoration will likely draw the ire of many, as it is awarded to those who have protected human rights, the principles of democracy, or otherwise contributed to the defense and security of the Czech Republic. The Mashin brothers killed six police officers, some of which were unarmed, during their resistance activities and escape from Czechoslovakia in the early 1950s. Stirad Mashin died of a prolonged illness on Saturday at the age of 81. President Václav Klaus has ratified an act honoring members of the anti-communist resistance. The government-proposed law allows the Defense Ministry to name members of the resistance and award them 100,000 crowns, or half that sum to their family if they are deceased. Those who have received less than the average pension rates will be reimbursed. Some will also be allowed to receive war veteran status, which would give them rights to special health and social benefits. The president also criticized the law, however, saying he distrusted the intentions behind the legislation and the attempt to legally rewrite and resolve history. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly sunny with daytime highs of around 25 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, hundreds of people turn out for the funeral of a best-selling novelist who died tragically a fortnight ago. We talk about the successes and challenges ahead for mountain bike racer Jaroslav Kulhavý, a big name on the Czech sports scene. And in this week's Spotlight, Jan Richter will take you to the Hanau Pavilion in Prague, a place you may have missed on your tour of the Czech capital. And we'll end as usual with another Czech lesson. All that coming your way, so please stay with us. Family, friends and fans gathered in Brno on Tuesday for the funeral of Simona Moniová, the Czech Republic's best-selling author of women's literature. The prolific writer, who published close to 30 books during her 14-year career, died tragically at the age of 44. She was murdered in her home in early August, with her husband the main suspect. Sarah Borufka has the details.
Hundreds of people gathered in Brno Cemetery on Tuesday to pay their last respects to Simona Moniová, one of the country's most beloved authors. Among the attendees were family, close friends, and dozens of her fans. The best-selling women's literature author died under tragic circumstances in early August when, according to press reports, an argument between her and her husband spiraled out of control. Moniová was stabbed several times and she succumbed to her injuries in her home. Her husband is currently in hospital recovering from what the police believe may have been self-inflicted injuries in a suicide attempt. He has been charged with murder and, if found guilty, could face a prison sentence of up to 18 years. The brutal killing of the three-time mother, whose novel Mother-in-Law and Smoked Meat was made into a successful TV movie, has shocked the nation and left her family and close friends devastated. Brno photographer and family friend Jeff Kratochvíl says he still cannot believe what happened to her.
Can you imagine that a woman would raise three sons and at the same time write 29 books? That is a phenomenon that is even internationally unheard of. And she managed not only that, but also built two houses and was able to publish her own novels herself. She was simply an incredible woman. I have always admired her and was glad of every minute that she could spare for me.
Her husband Boris Inger was charged with murder last Friday. He is suspected of having abused the best-selling author for many years. According to information from close friends, Mrs. Moniová had paid off her husband's considerable debt, dissolved their joint publishing house, and established her own. Friends say that she was trying to leave him and that the severe financial and psychological pressure she was under brought her weight down to nearly 40 kilograms. Following her death, the rights to her novels will not go to her husband, but to her three sons. Currently, her books are flying off the shelves in bookstores across the country, and in many places all copies have sold out. Literary critic Miroslav Balaškík praises the quality of her work.
She was an author of women's literature in the best possible sense of the word. I do not mean this in a pejorative way. She knew what she was doing and who her audience was. Her books, even though we don't have to look for any literary or stylistic heights and experiments in them, were extraordinary in their psychological dimension. That was her big strength. She was really good at working with the psychology of her characters.
The author's brother says he will raise her three children. He is currently trying to secure custody of her youngest son, who is only 7.
Thank you, Sarah. And we move on now to sport. You may have noted the successes of Jaroslav Kulhavý in our sports reports in recent weeks. The Czech cross-country mountain bike racer has had a sensational season. Earlier this month, he defended his title as European champion. And at the weekend, he clinched the World Cup cross-country series with a win in Nové Město na Moravě in his native Czech Republic. Not only did he lock out his nearest competitors on points, he's also looking very good for the Summer Olympics next year. Jan Wellinger spoke to the 26-year-old Czech racer's coach, Viktor Zapletal, who described his satisfaction with Kulhavý's results and also discussed challenges that lie ahead.
I am very happy when Jaroslav going this year very fast in all races, and it's very important for Jaroslav win in European Championships, and very important for him is win in last World Cup in Nové Město in Czech Republic. But Jaroslav hasn't win in two races in World Championships and in Olympic Games, and this races are now prefer for Yaroslav and prefer for me as Yaroslav's coach.
You're saying that he still hasn't won the Olympics, of course, and he still has to win the world championship. But otherwise, do you think that this has been his best season so far?
I think yes. Yaroslav is very strong and is maximally concentrated for race to himself, to his power, and only to his bike. And it's a very important ability for win. Yaroslav is a very strong athlete. He hasn't a problem with power other athletes. He going only himself in race. He maximally concentrate. I think it's very important.
Were any changes made in terms of his training program this year, which also may have contributed to his success?
No. Yaroslav started his training program 5 years ago. And in this training program, he concentrate only to 5 or 6 events in a year. Disciplines are different, but cycling is only one. And Yaroslav going very good on road race, very good on cyclocross, and very good in mountain bikes. He must training on mountain bikes as 20%, and in 80% he going on the road. About 5 hours is Yaroslav training.
In terms of the World Cup circuit, what was it like for him to win at home in the Czech Republic just recently in Nové Město na Moravě?
Fantastic fans and fantastic atmosphere and very good organization in all events. Very important for Yaroslav Power.
Coach Viktor Zapletal talking about mountain bike racer Yaroslav Kulhavý, a big name on the Czech sports scene. You're listening to Radio Prague. This is Wednesday and it's time to go places. On the edge of Prague's Letná Plain, overlooking the Vltava and the Old Town, stand several remarkable buildings from the Belle Epoque when Prague was hoping to become the Paris of the East. One of these structures is the Hanau Pavilion, a church-like edifice of cast iron and bricks built to demonstrate the dynamic development of Bohemian industry. Today it serves as a restaurant offering amazing views of the capital. Jan Richter visits the unusual Hanau Pavilion in this edition of Spotlight.
On a Wednesday night in this rainy August, the Hanau Pavilion is nearly empty, with just a few guests coming to enjoy their dinner in this out-of-the-way spot. Except the annoying music, which unfortunately spoils the atmosphere in most Prague restaurants these days, and some modern additions to the interior, the renovated pavilion looks just like 120 years ago, when it first served visitors of Letná Park. But this chapel-like neo-baroque building, adorned with cast-iron turrets, lanterns, handrails and dormers, was originally set up in another big park, Stromovka. There, in 1891, Bohemia's ambitious industrialists and entrepreneurs presented their achievements in the Jubilee Exhibition, inspired by a similar event in Paris. Zdeněk Lukeš is a leading architecture historian.
We must start with a world exhibition in Paris in 1889. And first presentation of proud iron structures like Eiffel Tower or the Machine Hall. And this exhibition was inspiration for our exhibition in Middle Europe, which was called Jubilee Exhibition and was presented in Prague, very near of Stromovka Garden in 1891. It means 2 years after Paris, and with a similar type of structures.
Several of Prague's landmarks were built at that time, including the iconic Petrín Tower, a smaller copy of the Eiffel Tower in Paris, and the Industrial Palace, which to this day stands at the entrance to the exhibition area.
The main pavilion was built from iron and was called Industrial Palace, and also our small copy of Eiffel Tower in Petrín Hill in the middle part of city was erected in the same period during the exhibition, and also some pavilions of that Jubilee exhibition was inspired by these modern structures with cast iron and glass. Like that very small one, which was called Hanau Pavilion, and which was created maybe like advertising of foundry in Komarov near Hořovice, and it was owned by Count of Hanau.
The ironworks in Komarov, also known by his German name Komorau, some 50 kilometers southwest of Prague, had existed for centuries. In the middle of the 19th century, the factory was acquired by the Princes of Hanau, which is a town in the German state of Hessen. The iron working industry was well developed in Bohemia and Moravia at the time, and the Princes of Hanau soon became leading producers of cast iron in the country. Jana Bielowska from the Prague Municipal Museum specializes in the history of industry.
There were two big factories. One was Komarau in Bohemia, and the second was Blansko in Moravia. And in this time, in end of 19th century, had a big project, two big projects in Marienbad and in Karlsbad. It was the colonnades. 2 years before the exhibition, so I think it was, I can say, healthy concurrence.
The Komarov Ironworks therefore decided to showcase their products and built the Hanau Pavilion as a showroom for that purpose. In fact, the factory's owner at the time, Karl von Hanau Hořovice, was one of few German entrepreneurs who took part in the Jubilee exhibition, which was otherwise boycotted by Germans over nationalist controversies. The exhibition was a great success, and Prince von Hanau donated the pavilion to the city of Prague, which found just the right spot for it. On the southern edge of Letná Plain, just off the city centre, that was already a popular outing destination for the people of Prague. Zdeněk Lukeš again.
There are some structures there from 60s of 19th century, a very popular public restaurant, which is called Small Castle, or castlet, in the middle part of that park. And during the exhibition of 1891, a famous inventor, Mr. Křižík, created first line of streetcar powered by electricity from that castle restaurant to the exhibition area.
With time, the area got another important addition, the restaurant built for Expo 58, an exhibition held in Brussels in 1958 which had a profound impact on Czechoslovak design. The Hanau Pavilion, with its popular restaurant, however, was only open until the 1960s, when it was so run down that the authorities closed it down. But several years later, it underwent a renovation and reopened as a luxurious restaurant. Zdeněk Lukeš recalls his visits to the pavilion at the time.
This was a so-called first level of restaurant. That's why it was extremely expensive, of course, in that period. Of course, it's not comparable with prices today, but in that period, I think it was a very, very expensive restaurant. One of the best in Prague. That's why it was not so easy to get there. I think that it was a European menu, of course, and I think that most people there were foreigners and tourists and so on.
The Hanau Pavilion still belongs to the city of Prague, which now again rents it out as a restaurant. Most of its clientele are still foreigners and tourists who come primarily for the view. But what about the food? To place the Hanau Pavilion on Prague's culinary map, I invited a respected food blogger who goes by the pen name Brewster for dinner there.
Já bych si prosím pěkně dal carpaccio z mladého víčka. A tady tu do růže.
We were sitting inside the pavilion, which is quite small. The only other guests were a couple who must have come for the romantic setting. For starters, we ordered a terrine of duck foie gras and veal carpaccio.
The duck foie gras was basically quite simple. It wasn't exactly as I imagined it based on the description. It was tasty, it was good quality, but it's something that I could find probably in, you know, 5 or 10 other restaurants around Prague, and I'm not sure I would come here, you know, especially for the food. I might come here more for the atmosphere.
For the main course, we had steak with tomato salsa and veal glaze, and pork tenderloin on herbs in creamy mushroom sauce. I quite liked what I had, but according to Brewster, the restaurant has a lot of room for improvement.
Well, the steak was cooked to order. It was medium rare. That was good. I found the meat a bit tough. I found the sauce and the steak itself under-seasoned. I did add a lot of salt to my taste, but I did think it was under-seasoned. Overall, I thought that the salsa that came with it really didn't go with it at all. It didn't go with this glaze that went with that was basically meat-based, and then you had this sort of sweet and sour tomato salsa on the side that was cold versus hot. It just the two things didn't mix together. I really thought that the pork tenderloin with the mushroom sauce and the gnocchi was actually a much better dish, and I enjoyed that more, although I thought that the tenderloin itself was also a little on the tough side. But, you know, I would have chosen that dish over the steak, even though I'm a steak person first and foremost.
For the dessert, which we had outside on the terrace overlooking the city, we had homemade fruit pie and sacher, which pleased Brewster just as much as it did me.
That was a very good sacher. I would give that a high rating. So, nice end to the meal. I asked for decaf coffee. They only had decaf Nescafe, which I declined. I wasn't interested in that. So, no coffee for me.
The meal was quite pricey, but not extremely expensive. However, the restaurant has another way of making up for it. Serving a small Pilsner Urquell beer for 60 crowns is an outrage, only paralleled by some of Prague's most notorious tourist traps.
The atmosphere inside the building is kind of stuffy in a way that has old tablecloths that remind you of an old Czech pub. It has annoying music, sort of a new age electronica that really gets on your nerves. There aren't many people. There's only five or six tables, so it has a feeling of emptiness. I don't think I would recommend people to go there for the atmosphere. I don't think I would say go there for the food, because the food is not any more exceptional than a lot of better places in the center of Prague. What I would say is, if the weather's good on a beautiful summer evening and you don't mind spending above average prices, you will get your money's worth out of the view.
More details about the Hanau Pavilion, including the menu, can be found on its website. You'll find a link to it on Radio Prague webpage.
That was Spotlight with Jan Richter. And now, as regular listeners know, at the end of the show, we offer you a Czech lesson to pick up the odd expression or simply to enjoy. This one is with Ruth Franková.
V řadě za sebou tři čumíci jdou, vdávají si v blátě cestou necestou, kufry nemají, cestu neznají.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a tune by Jaromír Nohavica called Tři čuníci. The phrase to listen out for is mít rovnou za nosem.
Tři čuníci jdou, jdou rovnou za nosem. Žito chřoupají, ušima bimbají.
Jít rovnou za nosem literally means to follow one's nose, and it is used, just like in English, to describe walking straight ahead. In this song, Jaromír Nohavica sings about three little pigs, or tři čuníci, that march ahead without turning right or left. Jdou rovnou za nosem. Listen to the phrase once again.
Tři čuníci jdou, jdou rovnou za nosem. Žito chřoupají, ušima bimbají.
There are many phrases and idioms in Czech that use the word nose. When Czechs want to say that someone doesn't quite like something, they would say nejde mu to pod nos, literally it doesn't go under his nose. Another phrase with a similar meaning is něco mu přelétlo přes nos, something flew over his nose. The closest English equivalent would be he's got a bee in his bonnet.
Když se spustí déš, roztrhne se mrak, k sobě přitisknou se čumák na čumák, blesky blízkají, kapky bleskají.
While the English say to pull someone's leg, Czechs use the phrase tahat někoho za nos, to pull someone's nose. However, both the Czechs and the English use the same phrase when it comes to people who are slightly short-sighted. In other words, they don't see beyond the tip of their nose. In Czech we say nevidí si na špičku nosu.
Levá, pravá, teď, přední, zadní, kruž. Tři čuníci jdou, jdou jako jeden muž. Lidé zírají, důvod neznají.
And finally there is the phrase dát si do nosu, which literally means to put something into your nose. Its metaphorical meaning is to have a feast. However, be careful not to mistake this phrase with dát někomu do nosu, which means to punch someone's nose. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. If you need to go through the nose phrases again, you can check this or any other of the previous lessons on our website, that is www.radio.cz. Thank you for listening and naschledanou.
Pojďme s nima zaspívat si jejich píseň veselou.
That was Soundcheck with Ruth Frankova, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. All our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz, and you can also write to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. This is Daniel Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.